Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Samach Tes. We left off in daf Samach Ches and Beis. We were in the middle of going through four separate brisos all about Iska. We were discussing an Iska arrangement yesterday, and essentially what the Iska meant was that when you give somebody, when you invest in something, you give them, you provide the capital. Reuven, let's say, not you. Reuven provides the capital for someone to make money off of it. So they can have an agreement where they divide the profits and the losses. But the worker needs to get paid. The one who's doing the work has to receive some sort of wage. So we were up to the fourth brisa relating to an iska, which is about 12 lines before the end of the page on Samach Ches Amud Beis. Tan Rabbanan, Makom Shenagu Lahalos Schar Kasef Lamaos LeBehema Ma'alin, where the minig is that you pay a certain fee for a person to move the behemos around, just to transport them, so you should pay the guy who you're in an iska deal with for that fee as well. Ve'in Mishan Miminagamadina, you can't deviate from the minig of the place that you're in. So if the minig is that you pay such a fee, you pay such a fee. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Shaman Egel Imimo V'Sayach Imimo. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if there's a baby that's together with its mother, so then you don't have to pay any such fee. Even where normally you pay such a fee in cash, you don't have to pay the fee for the baby. And Rashi explains, Rashi explains that the svara is that the baby's just going to follow along with its mother anyway, so you don't have to put really any work into the baby. It's just going to do whatever its mother does anyhow, so you're not going to have to pay separately for the baby. So asks the Gemara of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Obay Schara Malo. So no, does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel not hold that the guy who does the work is entitled to payment for his work and for the mizonos of feeding the animal, right? Isn't he entitled to that work? How could he say that you're not going to pay at all? Tosos points out that pshita deschar mizono by lemesav. Now it's obvious that you got to give him the money for the mizonos. Dehechiu galalim schar mizono, because the Gemara's answer of don't worry, he's getting money because of the excrement of the animal is going to be able to be used for manure. That certainly is not going to pay for the mizonos, right? So elamei amala greida parach. The Gemara is really asking about his work, not about the mizonos, not about the expense of the mizonos. Because even if the baby is going together with the animal, still sometimes you're going to need to move it. There's going to be some work involved. So the Gemara answers, Ika galalim. No, don't worry. The animal still produces a little bit of manure, and that the worker gets to keep. So that's his schar, that's his payment, and that's all you really need. Says so. So parakel mitzius kabeseda aveda parich veimal asuye galalim umeshani destam galalim mafker lehu. Right, that the assumption is, earlier in the Masechta in El Metzius, that Galalim, generally people are mafgir, so is that really something that's considered significant, that's going to be considered a wage? Hasam l'kuliyama machluhu b'shvil ha-shavas keren. Aval ha-cha d'tzarech l'itin schar rotu lios pato alide Galalim. You'll be mafgir when you don't have any interest in it, but over here, you know that you can use these Galalim as the payment for the guy who's doing the work, so you're not going to want to be mafgir it. You're going to want to use it to give it to him as his payment. Says the Gemara Vayter, v'idach galalim afkari mafka lehu. And the other shita says, nah, you're mafka the galalim over here as well. Right, that there's an assumed hefker on the galalim. The Shach brings a raya from here that hefker belave works. So you don't need to be mafka bepeh, that we just have the assumption that he's mafkarit. Not that he ever got up and announced that I am being mafkarit, but we know that he was mafkarit. Even belave, it would work. That's the big discussion at the very beginning of Maseches Pesachim, when we discuss what bittul means, right? What bittul chametz is. So there's a long run at the very beginning of Pesachim that tries to explain that bittul is not the same as hefker. Hefker and bittul have different rules. So one of the issues is whether bittul requires bepeh, whereas hefker may work even belev, may not require bepeh, may suffice to be mafkir belev. Okay, or may not. So maybe you need to discuss in the poskim. Maybe you need to be mafkir in front of a group of people, so in order to let it be known that it's hefker. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rav Nachman, just wrapping up all the discussions we had. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. First thing, we passed like Rabbi Yehuda in regards to when Rabbi Yehuda said that the wage that you give the guy that you're involved in an iska arrangement with could even be as little as the fact that you let him dip in your fish juice with you, that he sat down to a meal and dipped his chips in your fish juice or your fish dip. So that's good enough. That counts as a wage. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and also v'alacha k'Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who's the one that said that nisyovi v'tosri, that when it comes to the nisyovi of the chalav, the way of the milk, that's considered to be enough of the schar also. So that's considered to be that the animal produces. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says that you're allowed to enter such an arrangement with raising goats and split the profits even without getting paid a separate salary, because the person who's raising the goats gets to keep the whey of the goat milk, and that's considered significant enough, right? That was a machlokas. Others said, no, if you get to keep the milk itself, that's significant enough. But the way of the milk, that wouldn't be significant. But Rabbi Yosef Rebbe says it is significant enough, so we pass in that way too. And v'alach Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And we pass like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in what we just said, that when there's a baby together with the mother, you don't have to pay the wages for the baby, because the baby just goes along and does whatever the mother is doing also. So all three of these piskei halacha relate to paying the wage in an iska arrangement. Do you have to actually pay a wage, or can you assume that even some tiny amount is going to suffice and cover the wage? We're going to see soon whether we actually pass in this way, right? But the Gemara says that at least halacha, like all three of these. Says the Gemara's story, B'nei Rav Ilish nafak alayhu haushtara davaksiv be palgaba agar palgaba hefsid. So the children of Rav Ilish, after Rav Ilish died, found that there was a shtar that came out that showed that Rav Ilish entered into an arrangement of an iska, right? Palgaba agar palgaba hefsid. But the shtar made no mention of any salary. It made no mention of any money that Rav Ilish got to be involved in this. So it sounds like there was a ribbis issue over here. Amar Rava, Rav Ilish gavar rabahu. Rava said, no, Rav Ilish was a great man. V'isur l'inish lavi safi. And there's no way that he would have given someone else ribbis, because there's no way he would have allowed someone or enabled someone to do an iser. Now the Achronim pick up on this point. It doesn't say there's no way he would have done the iser of giving ribbis. In the Torah, the Isser of Ribbis is both on the Malva and the Lova. The Isser of Ribbis is both on the recipient and the giver of the Ribbis. But since over here the discussion is not about Ribbis itself, but in an Iska deal, the discussion is about Avak Ribbis. It's about Ribbis Midrabanan. So that's what a number of the Rishonim, Armedayek, the Rush, and the Chuvas Rashba, Armedayek, that you see that when it comes to Avak Ribbis, giving ribbis isn't the isser, it's receiving the ribbis that's the isser. Aye, so what were they worried about with Rav Ilish? He was only giving the avak ribbis, he wasn't receiving it. No, but the concern was that if it's an isser for you to receive it, then I'm enabling you when I give you the avak ribbis. And we say Rav Ilish was a gavur rabba, there's no way he would have done such a thing, there's no way he would have done such a lifnei iver to give you avak ribbis and thereby enabling you to take avak ribbis, which is your isser of taking avak ribbis. Rav Ilish never would have allowed it. Maariv Chayes points out over here that you see from here, he quotes from the Chuvas HaRashba, that's quoted by the Mishnah Melech in Perek Dalet of Hilchas Malva, Halacha Lamed Beis, and he says from the fact that it says V'yisura Linchi Lo'avi Safi V'lomar V'yisura Lo'avi Ovid, doesn't say he didn't do an Isser, Mikanda Avak Ribis Eino Over Raka Malve V'lo Alove. So you see that only the Malve, not the Love, is in violation when it comes to Avak Ribis. But asks the Mishnah Lamelech on this, that it seems to be against the Gemara and Sanhedrin. But aside from that, says the Maariv Chayes, wait a second, what's the Isser over here? What Isser is Rav Ilish doing? Lifnei Iver, right? You're going to say it's a violation of Lifnei Iver Lositein Michshol, that he's giving someone Avak Ribis, and that person is therefore in violation of Ribis. That's called Lifnei Iver. Isn't this a big issue? If there's an issue of Lifnei Iver when I cause someone to do an Isser Drabanan, when I cause someone to do an Isser Daraisa, good, I violated Lifnei Iver Daraisa. What if I enable someone to do an Isser Drabanan? Can you say that I have violated Lifnei Iver Mida Oraisa by enabling someone else to do an Isser Drabanan? Right? My Lifnei Iver is going to be Daraisa, and all he did was only an Isser Drabanan. Is that possible? Is that Shaykh? So the Maariv Chayes says, I don't understand what the issue is with Rav Ilish. It's really Lifnei Iver. It can't be that it's Lifnei Iver. The guy's only doing this at Rabbanan. Now the truth is, I think Minchas Chinuch points out that it could be Lifnei Iver Daoraisa. Why? Because Lifnei Iver means two things. First of all, you're not allowed to be machshel someone else in an Isser. That's Lifnei Iver. Second of all, you're also not allowed to give an etzah ra. You're not allowed to give bad advice to somebody. You're not allowed to tell him to invest in something that you know is a bad investment. That's also an issa d'oraisa of lifnei iver. So that's what, I don't know if it's minchas chinuch, but some of the achronim suggest that perhaps there is lifnei iver d'oraisa when I cause someone to do an issa d'rabanan. Not mitam that I caused them to do an iser, but that it's lo gara me etzara. It's no worse. It's no better than giving him bad advice. When I give him bad advice, it's lifnei iver d'oraisa. So when I help him violate an issa d'rabanan, isn't that at least bad advice? So that should also be lifnei iver d'oraisa. Then the Maariv Chai says there's another issue also, that over here, that if you know that this guy is a guy who takes money beribis anyway, he always lends money beribis, so is it going to be lifnei iver when you know that it's that you're not really enabling him? He would have taken that same money and invested it somewhere else where he's going to collect beribis. So is it trei avri dinara or charav dinara? And the number one rule in lifnei iver is that if the guy would have been able to do the iser without you, then it's not going to be an issue of lifnei iver d'oraisa. Then it's only mesayel de'ovr ever mitrabanan. Either way, I don't think we have to say that Ravilish was in violation of an issa, that the suspicion was that Ravilish was in violation of an issa d'oraisa. Even if it only looked like he was violating issa d'rabanan, still he's a gavur rabba. So the Gemara is bothered. A gavur rabba like Ravilish is going to be in violation of an iser, whether it be d'rabanan or d'oraisa, of lifnei iver by enabling somebody else to do an iser. So Rava says it can't be. We must be misunderstanding the shtar. When the shtar says that it's palga ba'agar, palga ba'hefsid, that they're going to split the losses, and they're meaning they're going to split the responsibility, and they're also going to split the profits, it can't be that that's really the deal without Rav Ilish receiving some sort of salary. It's impossible that that was the deal, because then Rav Ilish would be in violation of providing somebody with ribbons. So what was the deal? So says Rava, must be, Yom Rav, Rav Ilish gavar rabu v'yisur l'nish l'avisafi, manavshach, what the deal must have been was that there were some words missing from the shtar. When it says palga ba'agar, palga ba'hefsid, it really meant palga ba'agar, ... that's part of a possibility, or the other possibility is palga ba'hefsid, meaning that Rav Ilish was given the choice of two options in this deal. E palga ba'agar, if he wants to take half of the profits, then trei tilsi ba'hefsid. Then he's going to take two-thirds of the risk. And that way, the no-sein is going to take two-thirds of the risk. And that way, Rav Ilish is going to be receiving a little bit of benefit and for his work. And yipalga behefsid, and if he's going to take half of the risk, half of the loss, then trei tilsi ba'agar. Then he's going to receive two-thirds of the profits. Again, it needs to be a little bit uneven so that Rav Ilish would have been compensated for the work that he's putting into it. Otherwise, we'd have a major iska problem. Good, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rav Kana, Amrisal Shmaita Kamedu Rav Zvid Minarda. So we said over this teaching what we just said with Rav Ilish in front of Rav Zvid Minarda. Va'armelin, Rav Zvid Minarda said to me, Dilma Rav Ilish, maybe there's a simpler explanation. Maybe it actually was that Rav Ilish was taking upon himself 50% of the risk and 50% of the profits, but he got a salary. You know what his salary was? He ate at the guy's house and he dipped in the guy's fish dip, right? And that itself was the salary, so maybe that's good enough. Vam Rav Nachman alach Rav Yehuda. And after all, didn't Rav Nachman say that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, that that's good enough, that that's enough of a salary to dip into his fish dip with him? You don't actually have to get an actual salary? Amar Lehi said, no, when we said before that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, we didn't really mean the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. Lav hilchasa itmar, elashita itmar. Notice how that when the Gemara said, toward the bottom of the page that we read just a few minutes ago, that halacha k'Rav Yehuda, halacha k'Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, we weren't really saying we passed like all those shitos. What we were trying to show is a pattern. We were trying to show that Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon Gamliel all hold along similar lines. Shita itmar. It's trying to say kulu amru davar echad. They all really say the same idea. And what's that same idea? They're all saying that when you have an iska arrangement and the guy who's doing all the work has to take some sort of salary, what they were saying is that the salary doesn't really have to be significant. It could be something very tiny. And that's what they're all saying. But not that we actually paskin like all of them, just that they're all saying along the same lines. Hachinami mistaver, and if you look at the wording, it seems clear this way. Di lote mach, ilamle lemichshav lememar halacha halacha. halacha. Name halach Rabbi Yehuda, the Mekel Mikulu. Why does it have to specify halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, plus halacha like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, plus halacha like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? If it wanted to tell me we actually passed in that way, it only would have had to say one of them. That the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because you only have to tell me about the one who's allowing you to take the tiniest amount of salary and saying that that's good enough. And then we know, kal v'chomer, those that suggest taking a little bit more, for sure that's good enough for a salary. So all you needed to tell me is that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that dipping in the guy's fish dip is good enough, that dipping in his, using his, his salad dressing is good enough. And then I would know, obviously, if using his salad dressing is good enough to be considered a real wage, so being able to keep goat milk or the whey of goat milk is obviously good enough to be considered a real wage. And when it comes to the baby with the mother, that's obviously considered to be good enough. So it wouldn't need to specify all three. From the fact that it specifies all three, leads you to believe that we're not trying to paskin halacha. We're just trying to show a pattern. We're trying to show that these three shitos all line up with each other. If you look at Tosfos, in the top Tosfos, Elashita Itmar, says Tosfos, Omer Rabbeinu Tam de Mikol Makom, even though the Gemara makes it very clear over here that we're not trying to paskin, and that we're just trying to show a pattern, nevertheless, Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel. But anyway, the halacha is going to be like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why? Ta'amrinan kol makom sheshan Rav Shimon Gamliel b'mishnasenu halacha kamoso. Because anyway, whenever you have Rav Shimon Gamliel shita mentioned in the Mishnah, we always pass like him anyway. That's one of the klali of psak. It's one of the rules of psak that whenever Rav Shimon Gamliel is mentioned in the Mishnah, the halacha follows him. So even though the Gemara makes a point of saying over here that when we say halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, we're not trying to paskin. It doesn't matter whether we're trying to paskin over here. Bottom line is, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel anyway, because whenever Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is mentioned in the Mishnah, we paskin like him. That's what Rabbi Natam says. But says Tosos ve'ein nira. He says, I don't believe that's correct. The Rav Shmuel bayi laksos dinar o reish egla l'ptuma of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lo bayi ala galalim. V'lekel meimer dayan adavka be'egel emimo. He says, because it can't be, we're going to see from the ensuing discussion in the Gemara, that both Rav and Shmuel require more than the fact that you're keeping the animal excrement for manure as salary. They both require a little bit more than that. And Rav Shimon Gamliel thinks that that's enough, that just keeping the manure is enough to be considered a reasonable salary. So it can't be that we pass on Rav Shimon Gamliel if both Rav and Shmuel disagree. Both Rav and Shmuel are going to say that you need to take some sort of real salary. And then at the end, Tosfos says, V'gam Rabbeinu Chananel Piresh, T'chol ki agavna shenemar shita, less hilchasa kechad minayu. Whenever the Gemara goes out of its way to say that, look, this opinion and that opinion and that opinion are all saying along the same lines, the Gemara is trying to show you that we don't paskin that way. The Gemara is not trying to tell you we do paskin that way. The Gemara is saying, look, we can collect all the oddball shitos and show how they think along the same lines as each other, but they're still oddball shitos. They're still not the mainstream shitos that we paskin like. Whenever the Gemara makes a big deal that it's a shita, that, right, there is such a shita, it's trying to tell you, yeah, but we don't paskin that way. It wouldn't make a big deal that there is such a shita if we did paskin that way. So it's dafka trying to tell you we don't paskin like any of them. It's trying to tell you we must paskin that you have to give a real wage, a real salary, when you have an iska agreement. Not like any of these guys who let you get away with so much less. So Maritz Chayis over here points out, beautiful, says Maritz Chayis, based on this Rabbi Natam, that who wants to say that we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, he says, Nir be'enai mikan kasha al achlatas ha-shach yardei reish sadidalit zivkat lamed aleph. Bekiyas, he says, if you look in the shach in yardei, some reish sadidalit, he says, af agav de'en alacha keshita, mikal makom hecha de'ifsik hilchsa kichad minayu, o desugya de'alma azla kichad minayu, but that even though we normally say you're not going to paskin like a shita, what do we mean by shita when the Gemara says, look, this guy, and this guy all hold the same thing? Generally, we don't paskin like any of them, but nevertheless, if the Gemara beferish paskins like one of them, or there's a stomach of the Gemara that goes like one of them, az ki amrinan ploni ploni amru davar echad, hakavana dehilchsanami ki idach. Then, when you say that they're all, that there's this guy, that guy, and the other guy all say the same thing, and you know you paskin like one of them, then it must be that you paskin like all of them. Meaning, the rule is as follows, says the Shach. When the Gemara says, person A, B, and C all happen to say the same thing, and that's it, that's all the Gemara tells you, then you don't pass like any of them. The Gemara is just trying to collect a series of oddball shittos. But when the Gemara says A, B, and C, person A, person B, person C all say the same thing, and by the way, the halacha is like person A, then the halacha must also be like person B and person C. The Gemara wouldn't, if we know the halach is like one of them, the Gemara wouldn't try to connect the one that the halach is like with other statements made by other people if the Gemara wasn't trying to tell you to paskin like all of them. That's what the Shach says. Says Maritz Chais, according to Rabbi Tam, what's going on in our Gemara? We say halach Rabbi Yuda, halach Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yuda, halach Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Right? We're creating Shita. And says Rabbi Natan, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. How do I know? Because we always paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in Mishnah Seinu. Well, according to the Shach, then by definition, we should also have to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So says Maritz Chayes, this Tosos, this Rabbi Natan, is against the Shach. Because Rabbi Natan is trying to tell you, no, we only paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, not like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. What do you mean? According to the Shach's rule, if you paskin like one of them, got to pass them like all of them. So such a bekiyas, says Maritz Chayes, this Rabbeinu Tam is against the Shach, and he says, it's amazing, I can't believe that the Shach didn't think of this sugya. How could he have missed this sugya? He says, very kandam rashas halach rab yudav adachum etarit tzvarav terak shitit mar. And over here we're saying shita ne'mar, and the halach is not like Rabbi Yudah, the halach is not like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah, and still Tosus wants to pass them like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So you see that we don't pass them like all of them. So he says, vashach lo the Shach missed this one. He missed this Maramakom. So it's Beferish against the Shach from our Sugya. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Says the Gemara Vayter. Amarav, Mosar Shlish Bischarech Hareza Mutter. Let's say I tell you, I give you something, I give you an investment, and you're supposed to raise the value of the investment. I give you an animal to raise, let's say, and you are supposed to raise it and deal with it and make it worth more money. And I tell you, you know what your schar is going to be? Whatever it improves, whatever profit we have, more than one-third growth is going to be yours. So if it grows two-thirds, I get one-third, you get one-third. If it grows a half, I get one-third, and you get, do the math, whatever it is, whatever the difference is between a third and a half, etc. Right? That's mutter. Such a deal is mutter. That's not a problem of a ribbis arrangement. When you say that anything above one-third of the profit is mutter. Shmuel says, lo matzah mosar shlish, yeluch lebeso reikon. Wait a second. What if it doesn't improve one-third? Then the guy's going to go home empty-handed. Then he worked and he got nothing for it. Ella Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, no. Kotzitz lo dinar. You need to give him some money also. Just a dinar. Just give him a few pennies. Give him a little bit as something, as wages, because he's taking a risk over here that if it doesn't grow one-third, then he's not going to have anything. You can't let your worker go home with nothing. So you got to give him at least a dinar. And then, on top of the dinar, he'll also get whatever it goes above one-third. Says the Ritva, normally to give a dinar wouldn't be enough. But over here, since there's a very good chance he's going to go home with a very handsome salary because it's going to go way more than a third, so the dinar will be good enough. Just to cover the possibility of losses or of less profit, the dinar will be good enough. The Savar Rav, Ein Kotz Lo Dinar, does Rav say you don't have to give him a dinar? That you don't have to give him this extra money? Vamar Rav, Reish Agla Luptuma. Doesn't Rav say that you give the head of the cow to the one who you paid to be mefatim the cow, to raise the cow and fatten the cow? So don't you see that Rav also says you have to give something? So Rav says you give the head of the cow, you give him something. Ma'ilav Damar Le Moser Shlish B'Scharich, isn't that dealing with a case where you promised him he can get whatever is above one-third of profits, and you still have to give him the head of the cow? So lo, the kamerlei imosar shlish irei shagul p'tuma. No, in Rav's case, he told the guy who's being mefateim the cow. He said you get two options. You can either take whatever profit it earns more than one third, or you could take the head of the cow, one or the other. But not that you need both. Meaning, if I make a deal that he gets more than one third, whatever profits are more than one third, he does not also get a dinar or a head of a cow. He does not also get some other payment. Iba yisema, or When does Rav say that such an arrangement is mutter, that I tell him whatever profits are more than a third he can keep, that such an arrangement is mutter? Could go into Islay Behema Lididei. That's only if he also has his own animal to take care of. You know why? Damri Inchi, Gavulatura, Gavulaturi. Because what difference does it make? Once he's cooking for one animal, right? Once he's mixing feed for one animal, for his own animal anyway, so there's no real extra effort to mix a little more feed for my animal also. There's a very little extra effort involved. So in that case, I don't have to pay him any extra money because he's not really doing any extra effort on behalf of my animal, right? Once you're cooking already, does it really make a difference if you have 5 guests coming or 6 or 7 guests? It's all the same. Once you're cooking, it's all going to be the same. So that's why we're not worried about it. Now, the Tosafot says, wait a second, this idea of gavulaturi, let's say he only has that one animal, but that one animal, he has a 50% share in it himself, right? It's half halva'a, half pikadon. That's the whole idea of an iskar arrangement. So why don't you say the same svara, that once I'm cooking for my half of the animal, so it's not really any extra work to cook for your half of the animal, right? So says Tosafos, Darmi Yishe Gavulaturi Vim Tomar Mehay Taimel Shtari Afilu Lasle Beimel Adidei. Even if he doesn't have a separate animal, we should say it's mutter. That Tzaruch LeTroach LaAtzmo Mishum Palga Demalve. Doesn't he have to Mishum Palga Demilve? Doesn't he have to anyway be Tareach for the half of the animal that's alone anyway? So Vyesh Lomer Dlo Dami Di Lasle Beimel Adidei. If we were partners in an animal, I would not have to cook every day. You know what I would say if we were partners in an animal? I'll feed the animal today, you feed the animal tomorrow. But when I have my own animal, plus this animal that we're partners in, so then I'm going to have to feed an animal every day anyway. My own animal, I'm going to have to feed every day anyway. So then it's no extra tircha to go and feed your animal as well. Says Gemara Vayter, Rav Lazar Me'ar Grunya, Zavin Behemi V'yavlei Larisi. Rav Zavin Me'ar Grunya bought an animal, and he gave it to a sharecropper, Maftimlei, the sharecropper fattened the animal up, and he increased its value. V'yavlei Reisha Ba'agre, and he gave him the head of the animal as his wages. V'yav Palgarafcha, plus he also gave him half of the profits. So he gave him a pretty sweet deal. He gave him half of the profits to the sharecropper, who fattened it, plus he gave the head of the animal, which was apparently valuable. I don't know, people would eat, I guess, sweetbreads, whatever you can get in the head, the person enjoyed. So Amalei Debitu, so the sharecropper's wife said to him, Imishtatafas ba'adei yavlach nami al yisa. You know, if you weren't just his employee, but you actually had a partnership with him, I bet you you'd get the alya too. I bet you'd get the fatty tail of the animal also. And apparently that was considered a very chash of a part of the animal, to get the fatty tail of the animal. We see that in the Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim, the very famous story in the Gemara where there was a guy who used to go bring a Korban Pesach every single year and used to go back to his community and brag to his friends about how he tricked all the rabbis in Yerushalayim because he would bring a Korban Pesach, he would just tell them he's a Jew and they would believe him and he'd bring a Korban Pesach. And the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira wanted to catch him, wanted to let the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim know that what he was up to. So he told the guy, "May Aliyah mi kasafulach? Did they give you from the Aliyah? Did they give you from the fatty tail of the animal?" Which the halach is has to be burnt on the Mizbeach, so you're not allowed to take from the Aliyah. So he said, "No, they didn't." He said, "Ah, then they're on to you. They know you're a guy if they haven't given you from the Aliyah." So he goes back to Yerushalayim and he says, "I want the Aliyah." And they say, "What? Why would you say that? You can't take." He said, "No, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said I could take from the Aliyah." Why would Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say that? And they look into it, they look into his lineage, and they find out that he was a guy, and they kill him. Okay, but that's but the point of the story is, though, meaning that the Aliyah apparently, or at least for our sake, the point is, that the Aliyah apparently is a very chashva part of the animal. So this guy's wife says, "Yeah, you think you have such a sweet deal that you have the head of the animal and half the profits, you don't get the tail of the animal, and if you were partners with him, I bet you would get it." So Azul Zavin Badeh, so the next time he enters into a partnership with him, he buys it together with him. So Palugle Malyusa, so he does Taka give him half of the tail as well. Amle Tanaf Niflagni Laresha. And then he says, "Let me give you half of the head as well." So Amle Hashemekar Namilo. What do you mean half of the head? When I was working for you, I got the whole head. Why do I only get half of the head? So Amalei Adi Inazuzi Didiyavu. Up until this point, it was my money that was being invested only. So Ilavi Evin Lach Tfei Porta Mechzik Ribbis. If I didn't give you a little bit extra, it would look like ribbis, and therefore I had to give you extra, so I give you the whole head. Hash to Shutfi Anan. But now it's both of our money that's invested. We're partners over here. So my comment, Rachna Tfei Porta. So what's your taina that you want to get more than 50% because you worked a little harder because you're the one that was mefatin the animal? Nah, Amri Inchi, Stamarisa, the Maria Arkham Shabi Nafshe, Lasuile Raya. That generally speaking, when you have an Aris, he's more than happy to do a little bit of extra work for the convenience of having fields to go to graze the animals. Meaning the Aris is okay with doing a little bit of extra work, and he's still going to take half the profits. So I'm not worried. It doesn't look like Ribbis anymore, because it's not just my monetary investments, it's your monetary investments as well, and therefore your big chachma of investing together with me, not such a big chachma. You're not going to get half of that. You're not going to get the whole head now. Now you're only going to get half of the head. So let's say you have such an arrangement where you evaluate what an animal is worth at the beginning, you give it to someone to fatten it up and make it worth more. So how long does this go for? At what point can the person who's fattening the animal say, okay, enough, I raised it to a point, now I want to divide the profits and give you your animal back? Meaning, at some point, it's going to get very expensive to feed the animal. As the animal grows, it's going to get more and more expensive to feed the animal. So at some point, the fattener, the animal raiser, the animal grower is going to want out. He's going to want to say, enough already. So, Sumcha Zomer ba'asono shmanas v'chodesh. With an ason, it's 18 months. Begodros chavdal chodesh. And with the small animals, sheep and goats, so it's going to be 24 months. Vim ba'lachlok b'toks mano, chaveru ma'akev elav. And if he wants to divide it prior to that, so then the investor can say, no, I'm not ready to divide it yet. You still got to fatten it and keep it a little bit longer. But the amount of effort it involves to raise an animal the first year is nowhere near the amount of effort it takes to raise an animal the second year. Meaning it becomes increasingly difficult to raise an animal as they get older, they get bigger, they require more food. So says the Gemara, the gears on the side is, what do you mean, but? As if we didn't just say that, meaning the previous line just said, at a certain point, you could say, I want out because now it's becoming too difficult. It's just too much to raise this animal. So why is that an aval? That's not an aval. So says the Mara, you're right, it's not an aval, it's not a bat. It's an explanation of the halacha we just said. It's because it's an increasing level of difficulty to raise the animal, that's exactly why you... That's exactly why the guy would want out sooner. Time yidach. Hashem behemel chaveru ad masach chayv l'tabal b'vlados. We have another brisa that says, at what point can he beg out of the agreement? Can he say, I no longer want to be metapel in the young animals and I want to split the profits? So bedak alamid yomu begasa nun yom. With a smaller animal, 30 days, a larger animal, 50 days. Rabbi Yossi yomer bedak al gimel chadashim neshu tipula meruba. Rabbi Yossi says, no, for the smaller animal, 3 months, because it involves a lot of effort. My tipula meruba, what does it mean it involves a lot of effort? Mepesha shinea dakos, because its teeth are not very strong, so I guess it needs the food to be ground up really well, so it's a lot of work to make animal feed for the smaller animals. Mikan ve'elach notal mechza shalo v'chatzi mechza b'shal chavero. But after that point where it was supposed to be divided, then you can not only take your portion, but we view the other guy's portion that you're keeping and raising, we view that as a new iskar arrangement, and therefore you're allowed to take half of his half, because you're still being metapel in them, even after it was supposed to be split, so you're even allowed to take half of the half that he gets to keep. So you end up with 3/4. Rabbi Menashe bar Gada shakal mechza shalav v'chatzi mechza b'shal chavero. And in fact, Rabbi Menashe bar Gada did just that. He took his half, and then when he kept the animals beyond the point that he had, that he was required to do so, he started to take half of the profits of the other half. So Asal Kameda Abaye, they went to Abaye, Amar Man Palaglach. So Abaye said, wait a second, you can't just start taking half of the other guy's half. You have to first get it evaluated to know how much things are worth at the starting point. We're just supposed to trust you that it was worth $100 and now it's worth $200 and therefore you're entitled to $50? No, you can't just say that. You have to go to Beis Din, get an evaluation of what your half is worth, what the other guy's half is worth, and then if you continue to be metapel in the animals, then you could take half of the profits from his half. Then you could do that. But if you didn't go to Beis Din, we're not going to just trust you. Va'od makum shenagu legadalu. Plus, this is a place where the minig is to be megadol the behemos for a longer period of time. Utnan makom shenagu legadol yagdilu. And the mission of the next mission we're going to see soon in Samach Tesam Bay says that if you're in a place where the minig is to be megadol the behemos for a longer period of time, then you're not allowed to start taking the other guy's half. You have to follow that minig and still only take your half and leave his half for himself. So sorry, you're totally off base. You're not allowed to do this. Says more another story. Hanutrei kutayim. There were these two kutayim, two kutim. So normally a kuti is someone who doesn't observe Torah Shebal Peh. Kuti is someone that we generally don't look at in a favorable light. But the Gemara is going to tell a story about two guys who are trying to observe the halacha, who are involved in some business arrangement. So it seems a little bit strange that we'll introduce them as shnei kutayi. So that's why the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Yavitz over here, says Nir be'enai shem yehudim yoshrei eretz kuta. We call regular Jews from the land of Kuta, Kutai, not to confuse them with Kutim. Kutim are generally bad people. Kutai are just regular guys, regular Jews, who come from the land of Kuta. Okay, so fine. So now that we know that, so there are these two Jews, Da'ovad Iskabad Adadi, that were involved in an Iskar arrangement with each other. One of them provided the investment, and the other one did all the work. One of them went and started dividing the money without the other one's knowledge. Meaning, he did this this idea of mechza shalau, and then once the deal was up, and the other guy didn't take back his money, so he started taking half of the other guy's half of the profits, because he said, look, this is a new Iskar arrangement. The fact that I'm keeping his half and he still wants me to use it and be metapel in it is a new Iskar arrangement. So I'm going to take half of that as well. Asal kamed Rav Papa, so they went to the Rav Papa. Amalein, my nafkamina. Hachi amar Rav Nachman, zuzi keman depligi damu. Rav Papa said, no, you can't take half of the money. Money is considered as if it's already divided. Meaning, when it comes to money, there is no evaluation that needs to be done, because there is a known value. So you can't have any tainas that he should have had it evaluated first. There is no evaluation. You know exactly the money has value, and that's it. So he didn't have to go to Beis Din to do a shuma on the value. So l'shana zavon chamra bahadei adadi. Then the following year, the same two people got into another investment where they bought wine together, where one of them bought wine and the other one was supposed to be miyashin it and make sure that it's treated properly to age it or whatever, to make it worth more. Come idach palagle blodaite dechavre. And this time the other guy, the other one went and decided to split the wine without his friend's knowledge. Asal kamed Rav Papa, and he went to Rav Papa. Amalei man palaglach. Rav Papa said to him, what do you mean? Who did you go to a Beis Din to evaluate what it was worth? You just divided it on your own. You have to go to figure out a shuma on it. Amalei chazina debasadidi kasimari. He says, oh, I get it, Rav Papa. You're after me. I know, you just don't like me. Because last year we had the same shayla with money, and you paskined against me, and I was on the other side. And this year I'm on this side of the shayla, and you're paskining against me again. Last year you say, no evaluations are needed. And this year I get involved in the same exact shayla, but I'm on the flip side, and all of a sudden, I needed to go to a Beis Din, I should have gotten it evaluated. I know you're after me, I know you're out to get me. So Amar Rav Papa says, okay. Ki agav navadei tzarech lodue. Okay, when a guy starts accusing you of having it in for him, so at this point it's necessary for a judge to explain what the Pesach Halacha is based on. I mean, this is a big discussion. Is a judge supposed to explain the Pesach Halacha, or do you just say, some people when they ask a Shaila just want an answer. Don't explain anything. Tell me yes or no, Rabbi. I don't really care what the explanation is. Other people are very interested in knowing what the explanation is. They want to know the whole background. They say when Reb Chaim had a Shaila, so he would send the Shaila to the Dayan in Brisk, and he would say, I don't want an explanation. Why? Because Reb Chaim was such a genius, he knew whatever explanation the Dayan would give him, he'd come up with 15 reasons why the explanation is not such a good explanation. So he would say, you know what, I don't want an explanation, just give me the Pesach Halacha, give me the bottom line. So Rav Papa said, but look, in this case, where the guy's going to accuse you of favoring one person over the other, so tzarech lo due, I really need to let him know why I'm passing this way. So he explains, there's a difference between wine and money. Zuze mi shakel tavi v'shav chasrei. When it came to the splitting the money, did the guy only take the good money and leave you with the bad money when he split the money? Of course not. Chamra kuliyat, meaning he just split money. It was all the same. Money is money. It was value. And he split the money. Money isn't always money. There is such a thing as good money and bad money. But in this case, the guy happened to have split the money very evenly. Chamra kuliyat miyadi di'ika debasim, ika delobasim. When it comes to wine, there's better wine and there's not such good wine. So this does need to get evaluated. You can't just do this on your own. So there's one chilik in the case. Very often people make a tzushtel. They assume, well, that case, you know, that psak came up for that person, so in my situation it should be the same psak. And you're missing that there's a detail of difference. And a detail of difference sometimes can make all the difference in the world. Right? That's what they say. People who sit by Rav David Feinstein in MTJ say that you see sometimes people come in with shilas and mamish the same exact shila that he just got an hour ago, and he passed us totally differently. Because a minor nuance of detail has changed, and the whole psak changes. Everything changes on a little bit of a detail. So he said, you can't make the tzushtol yourself. There's a detail of difference over here, and that's why you have to explain it to him. Tosus says, wait a second, do you normally explain or do you normally not explain in a psak din? So says Tosus, mashma dafka hachal if yishayelo pischon pelechashto kamar disarach lo duay. It's dafka over here because the guy was choshed him that he had to let him know. Mishum v'yisim nekiyim me'ashem Yisrael. Because there's a din of v'yisim nekiyim me'ashem Yisrael, you should try to be above board, above any suspicion. Avol bi'alma, lo. But generally speaking, you don't have to explain anything. Generally speaking, you could just give the psak halacha. Mm-hmm. It's only when you're worried about being chash. Happens to be Rav Papa. In another Gemara, Rav Papa said that when the Gemara says that generally speaking, if someone is choshed, you have an avera, it's because you have some, you know, it's likely that you have done something like that avera at least, you know, or have at least been a little bit guilty of it. Rav Papa is one that said, nuh-uh, not me. I've been chashed of so many things that I've never even done, and it's, you know, it's ridiculous. I'm just chashed of all, people are always chashed me. So Rav Papa was hypersensitive to these types of things, because he apparently had bad experiences with this. He was always chashed of doing things that he wasn't in fact guilty of. Okay, so it's an interesting tosis and Maritz Chais and that tosis, but we got to get moving. Gufa, Amrav Nachman, Zuzi Kamanda Pligidami. We said money is considered as if it's easily divided because it's just the value of money. You don't need any shuma and bezin. But Hani Mili Tavi Vitavi Tukuli Tukuli. That's only if it's all good money or all bad money. Aval Tavi Tukuli Lo. But if you have good money mixed with bad money, right, some worn out money that's missing, you know, it's chipped on the edge or whatever, and some really good money, so then it really needs to be evaluated properly and you can't just do it on your own. Rav Chama Avamogar Zuzi Bipshita Biyamir. Rav Chama would lend out money for a fee every day. Lend out money for a fee, isn't that what we call ribbis? Right? So says Rashi, he didn't lend you the money, he rented you the money. You wanted to rent my money, not borrow. Rent it, then you would pay me a fee. Says Tosos, what are you talking about? That's ribbis. Renting, borrow, call it what you want. But that's ribbis. So Tosos, no. It must have been that he was mekabel achrayus on it also. That he was mekabel achrayus, and therefore it's not a real loan. But whatever it was, he did, and it was wrong. Says the Gemara, kol zuzei Rav Chama. Rav Chama lost all of his money because he had this practice. And Rashi says, we know the Gemara tells us, malvin beribis nechsein mismotetin. When you're malvin beribis, so your money's going to all be gone eventually. So he lost money because he did this. But anyway, hu savar maishnami mari. He said, what's the difference if I rent out my money or I rent out a kli, I rent out my spade? Velohi, mara hadrabeina viyadiya pischei. A spade you're going to get back and you know if it's been devalued. Zuzi lo hadrabeinayu, the money, you don't get back that same money. Veloya diya pischei, and you also don't know if it's been devalued. Amar rava shari le, meaning there is no known devaluation of the money. You get back money, it's money. Amar rava shari le inish lamemele lechavre, helech dal zuzi vosu plani zuzi. You're allowed to give your money, your friend four zuz and say, here, I'm giving you four zuz now, because I'm giving you four zuz, I want you to lend money to so-and-so. That's okay, that's not ribbis. Because the only time ribbis is usher in the Torah is if it goes from the lova to the malva. If I'm giving you money and I'm telling you lend money to so-and-so, and he's not giving you extra money, I'm the one that's giving you extra money, that's okay. I'm also allowed to give someone money and say, here, I'm giving you money, now please ask so-and-so to lend me money. For $5, I'm going to give you, please ask your rich friend to lend me $1,000. So that's allowed. My time, or why? Scharamiro kashakal. I'm just paying you your wage for speaking. I'm asking you to speak on my behalf, and I'm paying you a wage for speaking. Kihada abba mar bereder af papa, have a shakal ugna dekira mikirai. Just like abba mar bereder af papa used to take wax from wax makers, vamle lovos funizuzi. And when they would give him wax, he would be happy with them. So he'd go to his rich father, af papa was a rich guy, he was a beer brewer, so he was a rich guy. Like Cindy McCain or whatever, right? Beer brewer? I think she was. So he was a rich guy, so he would go and he would say, Dad, can you lend these guys money? They were really nice to me. So Amr le Rav Papa, Achil Brei Demar Rabisa. So Rav Papa's friends used to make fun of him. They used to say, your son is eating ribbis. He's taking money from these people in exchange for you lending them money. That's ribbis. Amar Lahu, Rav Papa said, no, that's not ribbis. Kol Kiyai Rabisa Nechel. Such ribbis he's allowed to eat. Halavai. All such ribbis that my son should be allowed to eat. Because Lo Satora Ella Ribbis Haba Milava Lamalda. The only kind of ribbis that's aser is if it goes from the lova to the malva. My son isn't me. My son's getting paid for me lending the money. I'm not getting paid for me lending the money. Hachaschar Armira Kashaka Lashari. He's taking payment to speak to me. Meaning they want him to speak to me on their behalf, so they're paying him to speak to me. So he's a shadchan, that's all. And he's taking schar as a shadchan in the loan. And that you're allowed to do. Okay, so tomorrow I will not be here. So tomorrow there will be no Daf Yomi Shir. I didn't ask anyone to cover for me. So I will not be here. And we'll pick up on Sunday.